Here we go.
So here we go. Yeah. Hi, I'm Tina.
And I'm Kalle.
And we're going to talk about the relentless pursuit of the unmemorable today. Unfortunately for us, we're going to leverage a very big stereotype right after that conversation. So it's a bit of a tough crowd, but you'll see, and hopefully it won't be offensive to anybody.
Yes, if I can get this to work, which was my absolute fear, but you know everything is about fear, isn't it, these days? Can we get, there we go. It happened, the relentless pursuit of the unmemorable. There we go. We're already off to the races. So we're going to use a very positive stereotype. We challenge ourselves very hard to find someone that represented all the good love that we've had in our life. And we found someone, and that's Grandma.
Right.
And Grandma is very good at building memories, and she's very good at doing all the things that, I guess, the unmemorable isn't.
Right. So we're going to start today with a bit of a warning. Which
warning.
Is awfully loud,
yes.
So I apologize.
Yes, thank you.
And the warning is this, that actually there may be quite a few things you don't remember about this presentation, and there may be lots of presentations today that you don't remember at all. And that's not because they haven't been amazing and they haven't had amazing speakers and been wonderful and intellectual and all of that. It's just that the human brain and mind don't have the capacity to remember all everything every single day because we're confronted with so many things all the time.
That's right. And I'm going to, I guess we're proving it right now by forgetting stuff and using notes, which is good. But let's talk a little bit about more important things like dogs. Dogs are really easy to remember, right? Especially this guy. He's very cute. His name is Louie. He's my dog. He's a puppy. He's 3.5 months old. When people come up and ask and they say, is he a Labrador? Is he this? We say he's a mystery dog because we don't really know. But he's a lovely guy. But the thing is, he's not just any dog. He's the dog that I have an emotional connection to because it's Louie, right? So I remember him. I remember to walk him most of the time. But do I remember this guy, or these guys, or this guy, or these guys? This guy, they're all really amazing dogs. But the idea is that just like brands, and just like dogs, it's really hard to be remembered, even if you're very cute, and if you're furry and fluffy and just amazing.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, even dogs.
Even dogs.
So, why is that? You're asking, right?
Yeah. Why is that?
Thank you. Well, it's not like brands aren't spending a ton of money. They are. So in 2018 alone, in Europe, 123.2 billion euros was spent on advertising and communications. And actually, that number is increasing by 3 to 5% each year. So we're literally pumping out content on a daily basis and by the thousands or tens of thousands. And we all know best practice. So we know love marks are old news. We know that being distinctive matters. I'm sure all, if not most of you, have read the Byron Sharp book by now. So we all know about laws of growth, and we're trying our best, and yet we're finding it really hard to get into people's memories. And yes, of course, half of the world is actually putting ad blockers up, so it makes our job even more challenging. But at the end of the day, only 4% of ads are being positively remembered. That is actually really terrifying given the amount of money that we're spending as an industry.
Yeah, it's almost as terrifying as these guys. But and also, it doesn't really help that most of that money is spent making work that is about as interesting and memorable as micro-targeted, perfectly customized mobile banners for this thing, chemical toilet uncloggers that I got this morning on my phone. So the thing is, it's really hard anyway for brands to make new connections and to make new memories because my brain is just full of all of these memories already. So in order to get a little bit of perspective on that, we thought, as always, we turn to The Simpsons for guidance.
Right. So I'm going to ask you guys to go with me on this and play a little bit, right? I'm going to try to put on a really, serene voice. Okay. If everyone in the room here were to think back on their lives to some of their fondest memories, kind of like when you're supposed to just get out and have a little fun and somehow next thing you know, oops, baby. Or when you get married, but then divorced.
Yep.
And then, oh my God, married again. You know, we've all been there, right? Like it's not just me. Okay. Because they're all the situations that molded us into who we are today. So on a more serious note, that's because emotionally charged moments actually have the ability to resonate with us extremely well. Science calls this memory enhancement effect. I know you're all looking at The Simpsons right now and not listening to a thing I'm saying.
But we're proving that point right now.
Because you're completely distracted. But memory enhancement effect actually states that the more emotion is involved in a stimulus, the better it's remembered. And once those moments are stored in our long-term memory, we revisit them over and over and over again.
I'm sorry I had to click the button because you
Yeah, that's okay. So the point we're trying to make here is actually all of life's memories for the people that we're talking to are our competition. Not just looking at other brands and the work that they're doing, that's not sufficient. We actually have to penetrate everything that people have within their long-term memory.
That's right. And what's really interesting about this, if we go back to this lady, our lovely grandma, she's the symbol of this competition. She's really here to help us prove that point. Because it was kind of easy for everyone in this room to get annoyed to mom and dad, because their job was to raise us, to make us into responsible adults, to make us cut our hair and get a job.
That didn't work for you.
Yep. But this lady and everything that she represents everyone that got to spoil the crap out of us without any kind of limit to the love. And that's the beauty of that. So when we think of her, we remember someone that always made us happy. And that's big competition up here in the memory space. And there are millions of grandmas and there are millions of people representing grandma. I think you all have one in this room. And no one baked cookies quite like that person. And to put it simply, for brands, this lady isn't just bad news. She is the enemy. And all her delicious cookies, obviously. Because grandmothers and that person that represented, that she represents in your life, she doesn't care about incrementalism. She doesn't care about efficiencies, click-through rates, data-driven insights. She doesn't even care about funnels, unless, of course, funnel cake. Grandma loved us, and we loved grandma, right? And that's why she will always be in our memories, and most brands won't. But why, Tina?
Right. I know you would ask that.
Thank you.
So I'm about to go on a long journey right now.
Yes.
Bear with me.
It's going to be awesome, though. It's all going to be worth it.
It's going to be awesome. Stick with me. Yeah. So let's start by digging into memory a bit more. So memories are actually a bit of a hot topic at the moment.
Yes.
I don't know if anyone's seen The Mind Explained on Netflix, but they're doing a lot of work around understanding cognitive ability and all of that. And our minds actually do really strange things when it comes to memory. So I'm going to play a really quick clip.
Yep.
Hopefully it's loud enough.
Yep.
Yeah.
We know about 50% of the details of that memory change in a year, even though most people are convinced they're 100% right.
They might correctly remember the gist of the day, but not details like who they were with, what they were doing when they heard, and what exactly they saw.
Right. So actually, the thing is, unfortunately, our memories and our minds are not like time capsules that we can just go back to and open, and everything is perfectly recited once it's happened. So our memories, just like brands, by the way, are really owned and occupied and created, and are very complex mental constructs created for us and by us. So the context and how we interpreted a situation in that moment, that is what we felt, what we saw, what we experienced, our mood, our emotional state, the other people in the room, all of that frames actually how we interpret a given situation and then therefore how we remember that situation later on. Our memories, in fact, are not like Instagram. So we can't scroll through a feed, tap on a photo or some data point and recall everything we experienced happening at the time. I'm about to tell a true story.
This is Tina's Instagram feed, by the way.
Yeah.
Lovely pictures. Yes.
That is me in the middle. But yeah, so not so long ago, maybe a couple months ago, Kala and I had a very unusual glass of wine on a Friday night.
Yes.
And he was incredibly persuasive about me having to get or really needing a puppy. And I was like, yeah, I'm not sure.
Look at that puppy. This is Louis's brother,
really
Pook.
Sure.
He now has to, yeah, sorry.
That's okay.
Yep.
So he actually convinced us to go see Puck. Puck was utterly adorable. There were lots of things I remember about that occasion. I remember holding him with my partner, Carl. He shows up in every presentation I give, by the way,
yep.
Which he's like, why? But I remember holding him. I remember how I felt. I remember desperately wanting to take him home, despite the fact that I'm insanely allergic and have an asthmatic child. So that's actually true, and didn't end up taking him home that day. So there are lots of things as well I didn't recall. I didn't really remember so much about you. I didn't really remember what I said there. I really didn't know what I said to the other people. I didn't remember how I got there. But it doesn't matter, because all of those things influenced actually how I remembered and recalled that situation. Neuroscientists believe, in fact, that it's impossible for human beings and animals as well to be able to recall with any precision a memory or a situation or an event without altering it in some way. The other good example of this, I'll use Carl again, is, you know, when you've had an argument and then, like, the next day you go and you talk about it because that's what the psychologists tell you you should do, and you should, like, navigate through it and communicate and try and sort it out. And instead of it getting resolved, you're actually like, what the fuck? Like, I'm actually dating or living with an insane person because he clearly has completely altered what happened yesterday in a way that I don't even recognize. Yeah. So, yeah, that's what we're talking about.
So that's what happened with Puck, right? That's why you didn't...
That's what happened.
Yeah, okay, good. All right.
Right, so memories and grandma actually live here. So it's a very complex system, a very complicated mind. And if we think back to our memories around grandma, the grandma ecosystem, if you will, grandma really sits at the heart of a lot of our memories, of course. And there, but again, there are lots of other details around those memories. So, like the amazing cuddles and hugs that she gave us that lasted 10 seconds longer than anyone else, like the when she was so attentive and would listen to absolutely everything we were telling her about what happened at recess that day. Like the apron that she let me wear when I was baking cookies with her. That's not my grandma, but still. Like, Paula. You have to pay attention.
Oh, sorry.
Like reading a story together in the evening and then falling asleep. Like the blanket that then she would put on top of me so I could sleep longer. The soap operas she watched, the dozen mugs with your weird stretched face across them that she had. There were all kinds of things going on, and all very much undoubtedly grandma.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I'm still on. Three types of memory.
Remember this.
Yeah. So, there's sensory memory, and sensory memory is basically we experience an external stimulus, then raw information moves from the senses into the sensory registers. So, for example, you see a new coworker, and you shake hands, you smell some coffee brewing in the office kitchen, and then our sensory register briefly stores information, but for less than 1 second.
So without this next thing, right? This is really important.
Yeah. So in order for us to even capture something, we have to pay attention to it in order for it to get into our short-term memory. So how many times have you met somebody and you're like, I don't remember their name, and they literally just told me. Yeah. It's because we may be paying attention to other things or whatever.
That's right.
Yeah. The second level of memory is our short-term memory, which is where information is stored once you've paid attention to something. So it's kind of a funny place. Short-term memories only last a few minutes. They involve relatively quick and simple chemical changes to the synapses that make it work efficiently. The total capacity of short-term memory is actually 7 bits of information, and it lasts for 20 to 30 seconds. Kala is holding up 8 fingers for some reason.
That was my joke.
And then finally, and then I'm going to pause for a minute and grab water, but finally, long-term memory. So to get to the long-term memories, we actually need to get through someone like this, Gandalf, which is strangely a similar look to you for some weird reason.
Have to get past me.
So that's our memory gatekeeper. And information that lives in the short-term memory has to get actively processed and coded in order to make it into the long-term memory. So, and as we know, that is quite difficult because memories,
shall
not pass.
That's right.
Woo.
Yes.
So once they've passed, though, then our brain stores those long-term memories by linking neurons through connections known as synapses, and I'm almost done with the science. So the stronger the memory, the stronger these synapses are. And there you have it. I mean, I guess it's pretty pretty simple, right?
Yes, yes, thank you. It was really simple. It's the good thing about this is that it's probably recorded and we can look at it again and again to really understand and take in.
Yeah,
but it's very good.
Dry.
But it's kind of a little weird. It's amazing how much building good brands has to do with the grandma's bulging synapses. So I think there was a picture over there, but we took it out. Well, because the idea is that grandma is really just a memory. She is a construct of our mind, right? So the idea, again, is that brands are just the same. They're just constructs of our mind, and they live up here. And the idea is what we can do is that we can learn from grandma. We can learn how she put herself here. We can do the same thing in order to build memorable brands and to create memory structures that last. So what do we do then? Well, we listen to grandma, because grandma is not just any old lady, mind you. She is the perfect grandma. It might look strange to you, but we did not question her obsession with cleaning out plastics bottles, nor did we question window deer, because window deer is more on brand for grandma than, say, the color yellow is for a famous chips brand. And this kind of whipped, buttercream frosting was just her kind of icing on the cake. And again, we go past the kind of chili sauce here to the apron that we were always using, and then back to the representation of us just hanging out with our wonderful grandma. And this was all part of the recipe of her. All of these things is her, how we remember her and how we see her and how we recollect her, right? And so rather than partaking in what we try to do every day in this relentless pursuit, as we call of the unmemorable, as an industry, we can learn a few things from her. You ready to close this out?
No, still you.
Oh, all right. Sorry. Okay. Here's a list for everyone who likes lists. You guys ready? What brands should learn from grandma. Now's the time we remember stuff. Number one, grandma does things in her own quirky way, because grandma is pretty quirky. And that's from an outsider's perspective, obviously. The bottle drying, the deer, all that stuff. It's unusual, but it's also distinctive. And see, that's the key here. She doesn't care about what you think the other grandmas are doing, because grandma knows her job isn't to be better than other grandmas. Her job is to be the best grandma for you, right? So she knows that. If she just keeps on doing that, there's no chance of you running off to another grandma's kitchen to eat cookies. See what I'm saying?
Yep. So, yeah, now it's me, by the way. You know grandma for all those awesomely quirky things. That's what makes her your grandma and no one else's grandma. Mm-hmm. So brands kind of need to be a bit more grandma. That's what we're talking about, memory. And we're putting out so much content and trying to demonstrate how difficult it is to actually get into the long-term memory. So we don't need to worry about what everyone else is doing all the time. We need to find our own brand quirks, their style, their consistent narrative, and then we tell the same thing over and over and over again in an entertaining way that has the capacity to get noticed, and then also eventually becomes unmistakably you.
Yeah, so number two. I forgot that one. I'm going to pay more attention. Number two, grandma knows what she believes in and what she's about. So this is really interesting. When you sit down and you have a good conversation with grandma over a cup of tea and some cookies, you'll figure out that she's pretty stern about her points of views on the world. She might, you know, indulge you with a little bit of head nodding and stuff, but she kind of set in her ways. So what we can learn about that is that she's no flake. She kind of sticks to her guns, whatever comes her way.
And just like grandma, brands need to be really clear about why they exist in the world, what their belief system is, and they need to tell that story again, that same narrative over and over again in an entertaining way. The expression of that, of course, can and will change over time, but the fundamental beliefs and the driving reason to be should not change. Actually, over time, that clear point of view makes us really distinctive and therefore salient among the people who we want to buy us and choose us over and over.
Right. Number three. Grandma shares special rituals with you. So the cookie baking session with grandma, that was your little thing. So it was your little thing.
Yeah.
You were anticipating Saturday afternoons, mom would drop you off at grandma's on the way to the pub, and you would bake cookies, right? And that was amazing. And that was your special ritual.
That's right. Brands can also have rituals, like the 119 seconds that it takes to pour the perfect Guinness, or the Oreo twist, lick, and dunk. They can also have equally kind of occasion-based or time-based rituals, like Saturday morning, there better be Lurpak on the table. There can also be different types of rituals, like you're not you when you're hungry, so that's about Snickers, obviously, right? So rituals are also important.
Yeah, you're not you when you're drunk either.
Yeah.
So number four, grandma's best practices are her best practices and not someone else's best practices. So let's talk about those cookies again. I mean, they're pretty weird. They were, icing was whipped and all that stuff, and that thing that could be jam was really kind of, could also have been sweet and sour sauce. But, you know, she's read a ton about baking. She knows her cookies. She knows the best practices of cooking. But she took those best practices and she made them her best practices that was right for her customers. So she's not making best practice cookies, you know, that hundreds of other grandmas are making. She makes a family recipe, and that thing is the thing that you're going to inherit and make for your own kids one day. And that's a finely tuned best practice for the people that she loves.
Right. So obviously, we should also do this with our brand, if you're starting to get the connection here. You should absolutely know what best practice looks like. You should be well-read. But then you should take that knowledge and leverage it to do it in a way that is just distinctive for your brand and your brand only. So take the laws of growth, take the IPA database, take all the learnings from all the can winners from every single year, but then adapt and adopt and be creative with those to create something that truly is just right for your brand.
That's right. Number five, grandma is not transactional. You know, she's not making you wash the dishes or sweep the floors after just one cookie, or at least you shouldn't, right? It's not a kind of a quid pro quo agreement between a grandson like me and my grandmother. No, she's feeding me cookies because she loves me. And, you know, since she loves me that much, she might even feed me more, just if I ask nicely.
Right. So, big question for us in doing this also was, like, how did we end up in this really funny place where the stuff that we put out we feel needs to be transactional, where we think people should be listening to 25 seconds of copy or whatever, and where we're ticking every single product and brand box, and then maybe we give them a little, like, five-second ha at the end. It doesn't make any sense. It's basically us saying, you know, we want you to pay attention to all this shit boring stuff that will never have the ability to actually permeate into your long-term memory because it's not emotional, it's not interesting.
As we know, Gandalf is guarding there,
yeah,
so you will
exactly.
not pass.
Exactly.
Right.
So we think brands would be far more successful if you're very, yeah, prescriptive about the kind of content that you're creating. And if we really put, again, the human being in the center of that and create stuff that people actually want that is going to make their lives in some way better and that they actually want to watch, et cetera.
That's right. Number six, grandma specifically loves you. So this is quite interesting because grandma loves you. She doesn't love children aged 3 to 9. She doesn't love the persona, Prince Peter. And she doesn't think of you as Gen Z. She doesn't think of you as 33% of her customer base. No, she thinks of you as you. She loves you, the individual, the person, the human you. And brands perhaps should take heed from that.
Yeah, so there's a fine balance here, we think. I'll explain that image in a minute. But don't get lost too much in generalization. There's definitely a role for segmentation and data and personas, and those can be useful tools.
And if grandmas.
If they're used responsibly. Mm-hmm. But to really find compelling and actionable insights, we need to definitely dig deeper and behind the zeros and the ones, particularly in a very data-obsessed industry and environment right now. So we actually need to go talk to people, like genuinely talk to people. Get out there, talk to your consumers. I can't tell you how many clients I have that don't do that enough, and they're starting to become more aware of it again. But understand their hopes, their dreams, what keeps them up at night, all of that. It's critically important. That context is so important for us to then connect our brand back to consumers. So we really need to fall in love with our consumers all over again, even in the midst of a lot of data.
Yeah. So let's do the last one, last point. Grandma always loves you. And this is the thing that's quite, it's unconditional love, right? Grandma, she wouldn't miss hangouts, your hangouts for the world. She would be there every Saturday. Grandma was there. She'd always call you. She'd always have time for you. She'd have time for cuddles, for, you know, she'd look after you. She'd have the best damn cookies in the world always there for you. Always.
Right. So again, and the final point, grandma and our brands need to be the same. So we need to be recognizable, familiar, and reliable. Always in love with our consumers, always mentally available, just like grandma is. And of course, easy to reach and get when and where our consumers need and want us. That's physical availability, grandma style.
Yeah, so why is she on the phone then?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, all right. So I guess that's it, guys. 7 lessons from the person we love the most that brands can learn from. And I know grandma would be love to be here to pass them on to us if she just figured out what the heck we're doing during our jobs and our days. But that's it. If you do like grandma, it's all going to be awesome. Thank you.